Well, guys, we have been in this series in Nehemiah for this is our fifth week of that. But don't worry if you haven't been here for the other weeks. You're going to be just fine. And I'm going to give you like a 2-minute recap of chapters 1 through 3 that I heard from a friend of mine. He's one of the elders in a church in Dubai that Donald and I got to be with in November. And the guy's name is Tim Davies. And this is what he said about the beginning of Nehemiah. He said in chapter 1, Nehemiah hears of the painful difference between what is and what should be. And that is a really painful difference. Specifically, what he heard was that the walls of Jerusalem were down, the gates had been burned with fire, and the people were in distress, and they were living in shame. And Nehemiah knew this is not what should be. And then in chapter 2, we see how he has favor with the king, and the king sends him to Jerusalem. And Nehemiah sees how things are, and he proclaims to the people how they're going to be, which is the really fun part. When you get to step in and say, yeah, I know things are a mess, but this is what's going to be. That's exciting. And then in chapter 3, we're introduced to many of the builders by name, people who are going to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. They're going to rebuild the gates of Jerusalem. We get to know who they are by name. And I had a lot of fun trying to pronounce all of their names. And we found out who's building where and the importance of building together rather than just building to our own gifts. And that we, by coming together and building a common, with common vision together, is the very thing that sets up being able to thrive and to grow in our specific gifting. But if we wait until our specific gifting and our specific calling in God is like, this is who I'm called to be, a lot of times you're going to wait your whole life, because the important things we do together are what release our specific gifting. So we focused on that in chapter 3, and now we're going to look at chapter 4, and we're going to discover something. I'm just going to warn you. We're going to discover something, that building together is a challenge. We can come in with all the prophetic vision in the world and say, this is what we're going to do. And then we face the reality of actually building. I hope you're ready for this. I know you are. Nehemiah chapter 4. We're going to read the whole chapter. And there's no way I can emphasize every great, amazing thing that's in this chapter. But we're going to hit some important ones. So I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Now when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was thrilled, very encouraged. Now, it says he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered or mocked at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that? And Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, yes, what are they building? If a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. And Nehemiah prays, hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders. So we built the wall. And all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. In Judah, it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There is too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. And our enemies said, they will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. At that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, you must return to us. That's encouraging. So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in open places, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. And when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction and half held the spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me, and I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, the work is great and widely spread, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So we labored at the work, and half of them held the spears from the break of dawn until the stars came out. I also said to the people at that time, let every man and his servant pass the night within Jerusalem, that they may be a guard for us by night and may labor by day. So neither I nor my brothers nor my servants nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes. Each kept his weapon at his right hand. And doesn't this sound like an easy job? Hey, let's rally together. Let's build a wall. Let's go for this in God. And what do we find right out of the gate? They begin to build opposition. The enemy opposes. He's angry. He's full of rage. And there's 4 things that he does. We're not going to spend a lot of time on these, but the first thing that comes in is mocking, jeering the Jews, and stirring others against them, but just making fun of them. Calls them feeble Jews. It's like the enemy coming at you and saying, you know what? You are feeble. You are pathetic. Who do you think you are? You're going to do something great for the kingdom of God. Who do you even think you are? Feeble, feeble Christian. Sounds like the enemy. It's what he does. And then they mock their commitment and their zeal. What are they going to do? Are they going to actually sacrifice and build this thing? Really? Really? Are they going to be able to make the sacrifice and do what it takes to build this wall? Pfft, whatever. So they mock their commitment to God. They mock their zeal. Guys, if anyone ever is mocking your zeal, just come hang out with me a little bit, okay? Zeal is great. It's good. It's not the only thing. Zeal by itself will blow you up. You need some wisdom. But we need zeal in the church. We need it. I love that these guys were zealous and they jumped out and they built the wall to half its height really fast. They went for it. And the enemy continues to mock them. even says, you guys are built, you know, the building material you guys are using is ridiculous. You're trying to build a wall with stones that are destroyed. They're like rubble and they're burned out. Awesome. You ever feel like that? You're like the burned out stone in the church. I don't mean like Rolling Stones, like I'm a burned out stoner. I don't know. Not that. Yeah, maybe you're that. Maybe you've been there, right? The burned out stoner. I love that they're building this wall with burned out stones. I'll tell you why in just a second. They say one more thing. This other guy, Tobiah the Ammonite, he reminds me, okay, have you ever seen the show A Christmas Story? It's obviously a Christmas story about this little kid named Randy, who all he really wants is the Red Ryder BB gun. You'll shoot your eye out. Yeah, I'm already hearing people going, you'll shoot your eye out. If you haven't seen that movie, you should. But there's this bad guy in the movie. He's the bully of the neighborhood, and his name is Scud Farkas. What a great name. Scud Farkas. And everywhere he goes, he has this swagger. And he's just like, ugh. And he picks on the kids, and he beats on the kids. Well, there's this little sidekick along with Scud Farkas. And he's just this little tiny guy. And everything Scud Farkas does, this little guy is there just going, yeah, yeah, that's right. That's like this guy, Tobiah the Ammonite, reminds me of Scud Farkas' little sidekick. And what he says to him, he's like, yeah, and if you guys build a wall, if a fox goes up on it, it'll fall down. It doesn't even make sense. But he's like this little obnoxious sidekick guy, just making digs. If a fox goes, he's mocking their very work. The thing you guys are trying to build, if a fox goes up on it, it's coming down. Now, I came from Missoula, Montana. We had foxes around. Foxes are tiny little things. Like, foxes are not big, impressive animals. They're just little, you know, and so he's really saying, look, the slightest opposition is going to blow these guys down. So are you hearing this? The enemy comes to mock you. He comes to mock your zeal. He comes to mock your commitment. He comes to mock the very stones you're trying to build with. And he comes to mock the work. He comes to mock the very thing we're trying to build. It says it's never going to stand. But here's the deal. Okay, the enemy's always going to do this. That is what the enemy does. He comes at you with accusations of all kind, mocking, causing you to question God's word, causing us to doubt ourselves. And his focus is to get the focus on us. The enemy wants your focus on you. Because you are never going to be enough. And he knows that. You by yourself have weaknesses. Me by myself, I have weaknesses. And the enemy comes to get our attention on us and our weakness, our shortcomings, all the things we can't do. Now, are we feeble on our own? Actually, yeah. Are we burned out stones on our own? Actually, yeah. Some of us more than others. Could our work, the best thing that we could build in Spokane, Grace Church Spokane, the very, very best that we could build, could it stand on its own? Actually, no. It couldn't. There's no church in town that can stand on its own merits. But in Christ, I wrote this down in my notes. In Christ, the weak are made strong, the poor are made rich, the blind are made to see, the impossible becomes possible, and burned out stones become living stones, built together as God's own dwelling place. Our attention needs to get off of us and onto Him. And so that's why the enemy comes, to get your attention onto all of your weakness, your shortcoming. How the stones that God has given you to build with just aren't good enough. When you take into account in the New Testament that God calls us stones, guess why the enemy wants to get you looking at the stones? Again, not the Rolling Stones. Every time I say the Stones, I think of the band. And I'm jumping into Mick Jagger in my head, like jumping around on the stage. So it's not Mick Jagger. But God draws us together, and this is a huge value for us as a church. That God's not just calling the perfect people, the pretty people, the ones who have the best jobs and that can bring the best income and resource and support the building of the church. God calls broken people. He calls people who are messed up, who the rest of the world looks out and says, "You are nothing but a blackened, burnt stone. It should just be left off in the rubble pile. Why would anyone try to build with you?" And God says, "You are a living stone. I'm putting my very spirit into you, and I am the one building my church. It's not you, it's me. I'm building my church, and the very gates of hell cannot prevail against it, much less some little fox." I'm preaching now. I get excited about this stuff because in ourselves, we are weak, and that's what the enemy comes and wants to really emphasize that. You suck. And you know what you can say back to the enemy? Yes, you are absolutely right. But I'm not standing on my righteousness and my gifting and my strength and how amazing I can be. I'm standing on Christ, the one who makes me a living stone. So what's their response? Nehemiah, immediately as their leader, what does he do? He turns to prayer. Very quickly. And he turns to God rather than listening to the enemy. Rather than listening to the lies of the enemy, he turns to God. When the enemy becomes at us, he comes with lies. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he has in store for you. Yay! He comes to do this. And we have to turn our attention from him to God, and God is faithful to draw our gaze. So we're going to turn to God rather than listening to the enemy. And what does Nehemiah say? I'm going to caution you right here. We never pray this prayer about people. Okay? Ephesians 6 lets us know our battle is not against flesh and blood. Okay? This is a spiritual issue. So when Nehemiah prays, "Turn back their taunt on their own heads and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight." Please don't go home and pray that about your husband. Don't go home and pray that about your wife or your ex. Don't go home and pray that about your children or your parents or your boss or your coworkers, or maybe it's your students. I know we have a lot of teachers in here. If you've had a particularly bad week, please don't go home and pray, "Let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, O God. Send them into captivity." That's called going to the office, I guess, if you're a teacher. But what does he do? How do we apply this to our lives? Nehemiah calls on God to deal with the enemy. When the enemy comes at you with his lies, coming to steal from you, coming to kill, coming to destroy, and you're setting out to build, like we believe we're doing what God is calling us to do, and the enemy comes to take you out, call on God to deal with the enemy. And keep building. Don't stop building. Whatever you do, the enemy is doing everything he can. Every tactic is to do one thing. It's to stop you from building. He wants to take you out. Again, my friend Tim Davies, he said this: you are unstoppable in God. You are unstoppable until you stop. Really big, big phrase there, right? You are unstoppable until you stop. The enemy's job, his challenge, what he is after for you is to get you to give up. But don't stop building. What did they do? In the middle of the enemy being angry, which he's always going to be, in the middle of opposition, which there's always going to be, they kept working in a specific way. They started closing the gaps. The walls had big gaps in it, and they focused on building in those gaps, and they had stationed people in those gaps. Guys, there are areas in our lives where we have breaches in the wall, where our walls are down. The enemy loves to point that out and say, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you right there. But God has a plan. So they keep building. They keep building. And now the enemy is really mad. Sanballat and Tobiah, they start organizing an army to oppose these guys. Now it's gone from just making fun of them and mocking them, trying to get them to wear out, to physically, we're coming after you. We're going to kill you. Remember this. Please remember this. When we're involved in the work of church planting, and when you're involved in the work of building the kingdom of God and building a wall wherever he has put you in the city or in Missoula, wherever you're from, there is going to be opposition. When you are in God's purpose, there's going to be trouble. Did you hear that? When you're in God's purpose, when you're in his will, there's going to be trouble. Just because there's opposition, just because there's trouble, doesn't mean you have messed up and something is wrong. God's not blessing me. There's trouble. Actually, you're doing what God is calling you to do, and the enemy doesn't like it. Often the sign of trouble means something's going right. Now, I just said sometimes there's areas in our lives where we have breaches in the wall. If there's sin issues in your life, you need to repent. I'm not saying let's ignore the sin. Let's not deal with sin. Let's just praise Jesus. Now, if there's sin issues, if there's things that clearly don't line up with Scripture, repent. God's not going to bless sin. He would be violating who he actually is to do that. God can't be just and then bless your sin. True? It is true. So if there's sin you need to deal with that. But when you're going after the things of God, there's still going to be trouble. So what's going to happen? Strategic attack comes from the enemy. Isn't this exciting? Do you like this? Sweet. Thank you for encouraging us today, John. This is so encouraging to know that strategic attack is coming at my life. Let's not maybe one get you jumping around and doing a little glory dance. Don't be surprised when strategic attack comes against you, but don't stop building. Now, Nehemiah adjusts. As a leader, he adjusts. Okay, there's strategic attack. We need to set a guard. Okay, so we set a guard, but we don't stop. Our tendency can be, things are bad, let's all circle the wagons. Okay, circle the wagons. Don't worry about building anything. Let's just huddle. Huddle, holy huddle. Ah, okay. It's going to be okay. Love each other, hug each other. It's going to be all right. Nehemiah's approach was a little different. He said, okay, let's set the guard. Let's get some extra people in here. But don't stop. We keep building. Okay? So attack is going to come. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Guess what else comes? Fatigue. The people get tired to the point that they say, we can't do this. This is really, really hard work. And we all set out with great vision and zeal. And now we're tired. And the people are saying, we can't do it. There's too much rubble. We can't even build. There's so much rubble around. The enemy says, nope, you can't do it. And all their friends and family from all around, they join in. Hey, you know what? You can't do it. You should come home. That's too hard. Come home. This is going to kill you. Come home. So the enemy uses this time of weariness, to come in and say, okay, I'm going to expose all the flaws, all the dangers. Again, get you to focus on what's so hard and difficult. And he wants to sneak in among the rubble and kill you. But again, what is the response? Not just of Nehemiah, but what is the response of the people of God when strategic attack is coming and fatigue is happening? What's the response? Say, okay, we're going to station some extra people with you. We're going to shore up these weak areas. And I wrote this in my notes. I think it's going to pop up on the screen. You need help in your weak areas. You need help. I need help. We're not called to struggle alone. Struggle happens. Fatigue happens. Weariness happens. Attack happens. Sickness happens. Financial challenges happen. Relational stuff, it all happens. And we can have that tendency of like, you know what? I need to get this breach all taken care of myself. Or maybe I'm just going to quit and go and hide in some other place. But their approach here was different. They stationed the people together. People are stationed in families. And I love what Nehemiah says to them. I'm looking for it. Dun, 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 dun. I'm hunting it down. I'm probably getting way ahead of myself, but that's okay. He says, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives. Fight for your homes. I like this guy. He's like Mr. Band of Brothers, if you've ever seen that series. A lot of World War II soldiers would tell you, they didn't even get the big picture a lot of times, but they fought for the guy standing next to them. They fought for that guy. Like, I don't even know if we can win this war, but I'm going to try and keep this guy alive. And Nehemiah appeals to relationship. This is huge when challenges are real. He appeals to the relationship they have with each other. Fight for each other. It's pretty cool. And he exhorts them with these four things. Don't be afraid of them. Again, he's like, get your focus off of the enemy. Don't be afraid of them. Secondly, he says, remember the Lord. This is one of the most important things we can do, guys, is remember the Lord. Bring to your remembrance who God is. Who is He? We've been singing about Him earlier. All these things that He does for us. Like, Jesus is our great salvation. He's our great adventure. He's the one who gave Himself for us. We remember Him. And we fight for our brothers. Standing your ground alone is a sure recipe for more fatigue. It's hard. And if you have that mentality of, I need to make sure everything looks good about me, and then I'll stand with you. Because now I have something to offer. Now I look good. No. More often than not, you're going to fry. I mean, you're going to burn out over here. Ugh. We stand together in our weakness. We stand together when things aren't going well. And we stand on the wall together. We fight for one another. And this is how we build. And Nehemiah says one more thing to these guys. In verse 20. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. You hear that? Our God will fight for us. He doesn't say, rally to us there. We will do the best job that we can do. We will fight as hard as we can. We may die together. Which sounds really cool as a general. Today could be the day we die. You know, but we're going to go out strong. It's like Braveheart style or something. No, actually what Nehemiah says is, rally to us, our God will fight for us. Their reliance isn't on how great their relationships are, though those are very good things. The reliance isn't on, like, we can fight really good. We've got great fighting skills. Maybe not. Some of these guys building the wall, if you heard from the last time we talked about this, some of them were perfumers. Typically, those aren't the best fighters. You know, I'm a perfumer. I'm from New York. I'm from Paris. I live on like the 53rd floor in a condo. And we're going to go fight together. Because that sounded like some kind of California perfumer. But I'm not a perfumer, so I don't do that well. Perfumers aren't the guys you're thinking of to call and build the wall. And call and stand and fight together. And yet, these are the guys they had. Their reliance wasn't on how great can we do all these things. Their reliance is on God. Who's going to build Grace Church Spokane? Who's going to fight for Grace Church Spokane, even if no one else knows who we are? God. God's the one who fights for us. He's the one who builds his church. Now, I like that they slept with their clothes on and they slept with their armor right by them. It's not like they said, God's going to fight for us. We're taking a nap. They were ready. They were armed. They were ready to do their part, but God was their strength. It's okay, guys. I am not standing here this morning to say, God's our strength, so let's work a lot harder. God's our strength, so just man up. I'm actually saying, God is our strength. So take a breath. It's going to be okay. It's okay. These guys, they had their armor ready. And they went to sleep. They weren't quitting. They weren't quitting on the wall and saying, okay, we're done. But they rested. They were prepared, but they rested. There's a time for rest, guys. There's a time to breathe. There's a time for Sabbath. There's a time for this, like, oh, let's sleep and recharge. But in that time, you're never not a Christian. We never have stopped the building. We just recognize we do need to pause and rest. It's okay. Some of you, you need to rest. And know that there's people that have got your back that are on guard while you're sleeping. Most importantly, Jesus. So here's our deal. This isn't like me standing up doing a big rally cry because things are so bad with Grace Church Spokane. Actually, quite the opposite. Pretty encouraged with where things are and what God is doing. This happens to be the text where we are, though. And we want to be aware and learning these principles while things are good. We want to learn this now and not wait until you're on your heels and on your back and going, oh my goodness, what now? That's not the best time to learn this stuff. The time to learn these principles is now. So that when opposition comes against you or us, we're not caught off guard. We're not shocked by it. Like, okay, you know what we do when it happens? We keep building. We just keep building. What I want to do to wrap up this meeting today is pray. Maybe some of you are weary and I just don't know it. I am that kind of a leader that almost always sees the glass at least half full. Like, probably more than half full. And God is great. God is good. So let's go for it. And maybe things in your life are like, I'm really tired, John, and I don't think you've even noticed. If you're weary and that fatigue has hit you like, man, this is tough. Let's pray for you. If there's breaches in your wall, let's rally to you and see your wall be strengthened in God. We want to see you encouraged. And maybe some of you are in a place where you're going, you know what? I actually have stopped working altogether. And I quit. I just quit. And you stopped. Let's pray for you. God's plan for you is that you move forward in Him, trusting He's the one who builds the church. So let's just bow our heads. You don't have to stand right now, but let's just bow our heads. And it's not that there's something magic about closing our eyes other than it just tunes out everybody else. Jesus, we're looking to you right now.